Distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, friends and enemies.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Lexington comes up with a steal. Ball nearly taken away by Dudley. Curry. From inside the 28-foot line. Does it again.
Just as good a year.
Look up. Oh, you don't like that. You don't like NBA basketball.
I hate you, I don't even know you, and I hate your guts. I hope all the bad things in life happen to you and nobody else.
But you.
That's why no one will remember your name.
I'm not a businessman, I'm a businessman, man.
Welcome, everybody, to another beautiful episode of the Couch Sports Podcast. We are on episode 20. Thank you for tuning in. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time you're listening anywhere in the world. How are you people feeling out there? I am David M. Allen, and I am with the magnificent one himself.
Ijuatu Robin, just sitting here chilling like a villain, being greasy.
Hey, that was a wonderful article that you put out. And it was funny because we were just having that conversation about greasy-ass people.
Oh, yes, definitely. You and Keisha actually inspired the list because we had a great list of a plethora of people, if you will, of the Greasy Hall of Fame. And it's some greasy motherfuckers out there. I'm sorry.
It is. Go to thecouchsports.com to check out his top 10 greasiest people list. Explain to these people what greasy is.
Greasy can mean a wide array of things, people. It can be a look, like if you look like you have excessive oil from your hair, your forehead, or anywhere from your head, you are greasy. If you have a hairstyle where it looks like you have too much grease in it and your hair is not free flowing, that is just a clump of chemicals, you are greasy.
And you also greasy. Look like somebody I cannot trust. Just based on how you look in the face, facial expressions.
Greasy is the type of person, the personality greasy is the type of person where if you and your girlfriend are in a room and the door is slightly ajar, a greasy person will walk by slowly looking at y'all. That is greasy. Or if somebody hella gives your wife a hug and rubs her butt at the same time.
prolong that hug.
Oh, yes. Greasy. Just any. And there's so many categories that fall into greasiness. But for black folks, all those people I named, all the feedback that I got, everybody's in tears. Of course, Jermaine Jackson. No one can out-greasy Jermaine Jackson.
No. Like, when you got sideways finger rolls, come on, man. You got sideways finger rolls and a permed flat top. Like, come on, man.
It looked like Jermaine Jackson just looks. You can just smell the Botox, the Aqua Velva. You can just smell the chemicals through the smartphone.
It's like he still uses Brute.
Right. He looked hella like slimy. He looked like somebody that would steal all your daughter's change out of her piggy bank.
And out your ashtray when you're not looking. In your car. Oh, that little your cup holder.
Yes. Yes. I'm talking about there was a lot of greasy ass people I had to leave off the list too, like Bobby Brown.
That's an automatic. That's a given.
Yeah, but Bobby Brown looks like the type of person when he goes to your bathroom knowing that there's just a little bit of toilet paper left, he uses it and doesn't say anything about it being replaced. He just looked like he used that last.
You look and you can tell you got one sheet left.
Right, and he just used like a little, like a wraparound and that's it. That's Bobby Brown right there. Teddy Riley, your ass is greasy too. Yeah, I actually had a ball doing that list because I was at the doctor. And unfortunately, my gluttonous diabetic trip to Detroit actually pushed me into the diabetic range and my cholesterol's off the charts. Yeah, so I've been working out and eating like eating great, eating healthy like a maniac now. But my doctor was like, well, you know, it's your fault. You kind of did not take care of yourself. And that just, because I think the diabetic range is 6.5. Mm-hmm. Once you get for 6.5, you're diabetic. I'm at 6.4.
Ooh.
Yeah. So all funny. And, you know, diabetes runs in our side of the family. Yes. So. But I feel great.
I'm glad.
I've worked out 4 times this week. I haven't, you know, I've been eating salads and kale and drinking tons of water. And I actually just got back from playing basketball not too long ago, too.
Did you win, though?
No, I played this young cat. And it was funny that you asked, because morally I won because he beat me by shooting 3-pointers. Oh. I had him locked down. He did not come into the paint at all. He outside me, though, as a young cat is supposed to do, but he was about 6'5", but he was hella soft, and he was a lefty, and he could not go right for nothing.
My God, I was man. Welcome to 2016.
Yeah, and you know, afterwards, I'm stretching, we're doing layups, and I finally dunked, like, you know, not old school Tyro dunk, but I'll take it dunk. Grant Hill getting warm-ups for the Clippers type of dunk, so...
Wow.
But okay. So that list, actually, I was doing that list when I was at the doctor because I was awaiting the results of the blood and you know, the blood and urine test. So, yeah. So I was like, I need something to cheer me up right now. And that's where that came from. I hella knocked that shit out in my whole duration at the doctor's office.
Okay. How was your flight back?
The flight back was, thank you for asking these questions too. It means that you really care.
I do.
When you guys dropped me off, I checked in immediately. United had this alert on my phone saying if you pay $45, you could upgrade to first class. And because I had a layover at
Washington. Hold on, your mic is a little fuzzy or something.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I had a layover at Dulles and you know, Washington Dulles. And I figured, I said, well, the first flight's only going to be an hour. The second flight, that's the big flight. It's almost 6 hours. So why don't I upgrade the second flight? Mm-hmm. I upgraded, you know, saw the charge go through on my credit card. I get to the gate. They're like, oh, we never got that information. I'm like, damn it.
What?
Yeah, so... I'm like, the petty part of me does not want to chalk it as a loss. But then I'm just like, I'm not in the emotional, I don't have the emotional space and time to haggle with United over $45.
Because they'll probably try to draw it out. I get it, but it's still $45 though. I can see if it feels like $5 to not, you know, but. But at the same time, if you feel like forget it, you know, just $45, then you feel like forget it is just $45.
Yeah, that's the mindset that I have right now. But all in all, I'm not going to let that ruin my trip because we have fun. And if for those of you that do not know, Detroit obviously is a beautiful city. It has a lot of fucked up areas, but you have to consider why it's like that. You have to consider what happened, and you have
but
to be
on top
optimistic.
Of that, though, and not to cut you off, but this is what I find from people, and I find this a lot here, the whole why'd you leave California? Because everyone thinks California is this giant vacation spot, and it's hilarious because everyone thinks that. Somebody asked me if I met Snoop 2 days ago.
Wow.
Yeah. And so everyone thinks it's a giant vacation spot and we're all hanging out on the beach and, you know, drinking drinks with umbrellas in it and having a great time and rubbing elbows with celebrities. But I blame the media because the media makes certain places seem like giant vacation spots like L.A. or Florida. And, you know, they make everything seem so extravagant. Look what they did to the Olympics. They made it look like, you know, Brazil was just this wonderful place, and it's a third world country, and people are probably getting kidnapped and dying behind the freaking place where they were holding the Olympics at. So people do these things. So they tell you places like Detroit are horrible. Now, when they come and finish gentrifying this thing in a couple of years, they're going to tell you it's the greatest place on earth. So
exactly. Any place that is predominantly black is always going to have that label. Look at Brooklyn. That's the perfect example. As soon as the Barclays came, Brooklyn is the place to be. It's interesting because I needed, being born and raised in San Francisco, where the population, I can't stress this enough, there's only 5% black people. I needed to be around some real people. I needed to be around some black people. Yeah. And really recentered me, really made me have this primitive ancestral feeling, because I saw black communities. I saw black people working together. You don't see that out here in San Francisco. It used to be Oakland. It's not even really in Oakland anymore. No. You used to see it like, so I needed to see that. A lot of people said, why did you go to Detroit? You could have went anywhere else. Well, why not?
Right. I bet you a bunch of those people were black.
Yeah, no, the thing is, because it's a melting pot here, it was people of different colors just asking me why that city. I mean, you don't understand it. The media is always going to have a label of what's safe, what's dangerous. Sometimes you got to get out your comfort zone. And I didn't feel like, I didn't feel like I was out of my comfort zone.
Real comfortable. You were happy.
Yeah, I was like, I'm on vacation. I don't care. Like, okay, there's a, burnt down building over there, but, we're going to go over to Belle Island later, or we're going to go to Dealer's Delight. Oh, one thing now that we didn't get to do is take a picture in front of the Joe Louis fist.
Yeah, but we can possibly do that next time. And hey, it's supposed to allegedly snow this weekend, tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday. Yeah.
About that,
I'm a little excited. I've never touched snow, seen it. I'm the only fool outside watching it come out the sky.
On Saturday, for those of you guys that don't know, Saturday we went to Eastern Market, which is downtown Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Best, oh my God, the produce there is everything was amazing. Everything was amazing except for the stupid Detroit is everything, Detroit versus everybody store, which is a ripoff. But
yeah, I'm not paying $70 for a shirt.
They wanted $80 plus tax for a long sleeve Detroit versus everybody t-shirt, not even a thermal type of t-shirt, just a knit long sleeve shirt. And come on, man. I'm San Francisco. I know a tourist trap when I see it.
Yeah, and that's what that was. Exactly, and that's what that was. But that lets you know what pace they're on and where they're headed. They're headed to the top. They really are. When they're able to tourist trap you already.
It was amazing the feedback I got from the Detroiters about, they were actually happy. They're like, wow, why did you come here? They were like honored. Like the guy that I spent all that money buying all the trinkets and gift and knickknacks from.
Mm-hmm.
But we talk. He's like, I'm happy that she chose Detroit to come, to come hang out and, da 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 da. And the old ladies I was, arguing with over the bracelets or whatever. Well, I was swindled. Old ladies love me. So,
a lot of pride here. And, people are happy, because even though sometimes I get, why'd you move here and blah, 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 when you explain it to them, people. They kind of, it kind of breaks the ice for them, and then they get to explaining everything you can go do, where you can go eat, the things there is to do, and there's a lot of beauty here, and you can see the pride that exudes from them, because they'll tell you all about this place to and from. Most people's biggest complaint is, the weather, but like I say, you can actually afford to live here, and it's the weather is what, 3-4 months a year. I mean, it's temporary. I don't care about some cold for a couple months a year and I can live here versus some great weather and I can be on the verge of homelessness or be homeless.
And that's funny that you say that, because San Francisco imports homeless people exactly. From Detroit. You can't be homeless in the wintertime in Detroit, Chicago, New York, Seattle. So all those people, they get one-way bus tickets here to San Francisco, because during the wintertime,
the weather is, you know, it's intermittent. One minute it's 70 degrees, next minute it's 56 degrees and raining. So, you know, that's something nobody ever really talks about, though, you know, when it comes to the homeless issue in San Francisco.
But I am glad that you got to come down here and experience it and see for yourself that, you know, this place is on the rise. And despite what people say, sometimes you really have to, like you say, get out your comfort zone and come see yourself.
Man, I'm telling you, because it's like, for instance, when LeBron left Cleveland to go to Miami, everybody, well, what's in Cleveland? Of course, like, who would want to stay in Cleveland? I'm like, I want to see Cleveland. I like seeing stuff. I like, you know me, I'm asking questions. They lucky that Bald Eagle exhibit at the zoo, because I have my question gun locked and loaded, but it was too cold, unfortunately.
But that's also, like I say, you know, the media, most people are sheep, and whatever, you know, the media or someone famous tells them, or someone in position of, you know, somebody with a platform, they're going to listen to them.
Yeah, I mean, and it's anytime there's a generalization about something, the generalization always favors the majority. You know what I'm saying? Of course, we're case by case, you know, it's different. But generally speaking, if you ask somebody from California where would they want to go vacation, they're going to say Florida, Hawaii, somewhere overseas, Paris, London, yeah. Australia, you know. So going to Detroit for me really validated who Tyrell Barron is. That's something I would do. I haven't seen you in so long. And it was like, okay, yeah, I got free time. They got free time. Let's do it, you know. Only bad thing was that my flight out there on Frontier, which, you know, that was a learning experience. Now I'll never fly Frontier. I'll never fly Spirit Air. And I have to realize, last time I flown on an aircraft prior to this trip was in 2011. I gained some weight since then, and I grew an inch, I believe. So I have to save up and start doing first class, or, you know, executive, or, you know, business class, because just flying in coach, I'm too tall for it now. And it's so discomforting.
Your life's too short to be uncomfortable.
Exactly. That's why that was my whole thing when I was purchasing my upgrade for United. You know, I was like, okay, so I'm
treat yourself right,
bro.
People.
What's up?
I said treat yourself right, people.
Yeah, but don't treat yourself too right where you're a pre-diabetic, though.
Oh, we did do a little much.
It's funny because Keish even said, she's like, you'll go back with diabetes or something. Sure
and
enough,
that's the cold part, because we were just kidding, too.
No, you know, I got nobody to blame but myself. I mean, that's what happens when you don't. What's happening to me right now is what happens when somebody who doesn't do anything for themselves. That's what happens, because you're always worried about other people. You're always working. You're always going through something else. So when you forget about yourself, when you finally get time for yourself, you overindulge, and that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at my. I have 67 hours of vacation at my job still. So I'm like, where am I going next? You know, I have a passport, so I'm like, it's time to put some stamps on these bad boys.
Okay, yeah, actually, you know what? They have this thing here called advanced license, and it's similar to a passport where you can go across the border, but it's just for Canada. It's just for you to be able to go to Canada. But you just pay the extra money, and they stamp your license, and you can go back and forth to Canada all you want to. Only difference is it's just to Canada. So if you want to go if we were to want to go anywhere else, we would have to get a passport. But I mean, since Canada's like right here, you know.
Just get your passport, because what's going to happen is when you get your passport, they're going to give you a passport card as well. So your passport card enables you to go on cruises, and you can go to other countries on land or by boat, but not by air. So you can go to Mexico, you can go to Canada if you're driving or if you're on a cruise. That's what a passport card does. But you get that when you get your passport. So
The passport just enables you to go everywhere, but you can't go to like in with your passport card unless it's a cruise. You know, it's stupid. I know it's stupid.
So I don't know if you've seen the updates on Klay Thompson's trade rumors, but I read this piece the other day where, you know, the rumors got out of control because of Brian Scalabrine and running his mouth, and
because he have a cult following too, that's why. And you figure the Bleacher Report is headquarters here in the Bay Area, and you magnify that with Twitter and Instagram. Yeah.
But did you see the part? It made me like Klay Alexander just a little bit when Bob Myers, the GM of the Warriors, said he called Klay Thompson and he said, "Hey, I just want to let you know that these trade rumors aren't true." And Klay said, "What trade rumors?" and Bob Myers said that, you know, Clay's the kind of guy that he doesn't read anything, or, you know, he doesn't watch anything. He's pretty much out the loop with a lot of these things. He said a lot of the time he doesn't even know who they're playing next. He just kind of keeps his head down and just plays, and that's it. He just does him. And it kind of made me like him just a little bit. Just because, you know, he doesn't read any of this crap. He's not all caught up in you know, the life. He just wants to play and live his life, you know, so.
It's like Snoop on Starsky and Hutch, where he told when he told Hutch that he moves up a notch in his book, so that puts you at notch one.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's bananas here. So I turn off my notifications. I turn off everything. I don't even follow the Warriors on anything because it's like, what's the point? You know, these bandwagon fans are going to blow everything out of proportion. So, like I said, I think back on podcast 9 or 10 or maybe before that, I mentioned that there's going to be trade rumors for him because he cannot create his own shot. He needs somebody to get him the ball. And the rumor that Scalabrine said was, you know, Klay goes to Boston for who was it? Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley, and one of Boston's first round protected picks. And they were going to trade that pick to the Sixers, and the Sixers were going to give us Nerlens Noel. I was like, ooh, shit, do that. But, you know, it's just a rumor.
Yeah, it was just a rumor, but I won't lie. At first, when I seen Jay Crowder, and I think, was it Avery Bradley?
Yeah.
Yeah, at first, my first reaction was, hell nah. When I seen Nerlens Noel, I said, oh, okay. All right, I can do well, that.
You got to look at this, too, though. We're weak at the wing. We have shooters. Klay Thompson, you know.
We're also weak in the interior.
And that's the thing. Like, okay, I figure if we got Bradley and Jay Crowder, we're going to be tough. Now Steph isn't going to get punked as much. We're not going to get beat as much. We still don't have rim protection, though. But, you know, it takes – because Iggy can't – you know, he's not the same player he was championship year. He's – I don't know. Like, you can see him aging. Draymond can't do it. So JaVale McGee should be starting. I don't know why Zaza's starting. I don't know what the hell that's about.
I trust no man named Zaza.
He hella got into it with, like, all the European centers. He keeps, like, I don't know if it's a Euro thing, but he does, like, too much. He'll, like, elbow them, at, like, inadvertently, but, you know, passive-aggressively.
To show that he's not one of those kind of Euros?
Oh, man, but speaking of trades, I really love your pregame and postgame podcast on Detroit.
Thank you, sir.
I would actually entertain that Rudy Gay trade, you know, to the Pistons for KCP and, I don't know, a first-round pick maybe. I don't know if Rudy Gay would stay in Detroit, but Detroit does need a lot of help. And I get so frustrated with you. Like, how is Andre Drummond, $135 million man, your franchise player, and he goes 6-7 possessions without a touch?
Yeah, and it, I mean, I'm sure, I mean, I shouldn't be as worried about his point numbers, because I'm sure he's not worried about his points numbers, but it does frustrate me that I think he averages like 14.9 points a game, and it should be about 25, you know, yeah. or even 22 at the very least, but sometimes he just doesn't touch the ball for, you know, 4, 5, 6 possessions at a time sometimes, which is translates into really like 2-3 minutes at a time, and he's just running up and down the floor for nothing sometimes. Sometimes he'll block a shot or two or just grab a bunch of rebounds, and they're still not looking for him. They'd rather shoot threes, and that is this generation right now. They just want to shoot threes.
Yeah.
They'll just pull up. Everybody wants to go one-on-one. Everybody. I just really don't understand right now. It's a frustrating. I really like Marcus Morris. I do. He's a great fit. Sometimes I even like Tobias. I'm not exactly as upset with Tobias, but when you get to that guard position, that's when it starts getting shaky and in that bench. So it's a little frustrating to watch. And he looks frustrated sometimes out there running up and down the floor looking like, what am I really doing out here? Am I just really going to grab rebounds? Are you serious?
That's Ish Smith's fault, because Ish Smith, as you noted, and any basketball savant can see this, you dribbling through the lane, all this other stuff.
Sometimes he'll come into the lane literally 2 or 3 times in a single possession. And then it's like literally 2 or 3 seconds left on a shot clock, and he'll just pass it to somebody, and they have to obviously shoot now.
Also, you have to factor in I don't know, Stanley Johnson. You said he's had a few games where he's had less than. I'm like, how do you have less than 2 points and you're an NBA player? Like, that doesn't make any sense. You play like a substantial part of minutes too. It's not like you're playing like a minute or two. You're playing, you know, 11 to, you know, 18 minutes a game some night. So, I could see McLemore over there too. You said Ben McLemore. That would actually
be a really good
Terrence Ross. Yeah, that's a good fit as well. There's a lot of people that Detroit can use. They can use another 3-point shooter. I actually like Aaron Baines. He had a good night the other day filling in for Drummond the game before the Knicks, actually. Mm-hmm. I think
King
he had
King of the Man Buns.
And his mask, his ode to Rip Hamilton mask.
Okay, so let me run this down to you real quick.
Go ahead.
Let me see. Last game, Stanley Johnson had 2 points against the Knicks. Mm-hmm. Two. The game before
Stanley.
Right. The game before that, 3 points. The game before that, 5. Couple games with 6. He got in double digits only twice this season, but before that, 0 points, mm-hmm. 1 point, 0 points, 3 points, 2 points. Come on now.
How many minutes is he playing though?
The last game when he had 0 points, he played 16 minutes. He averages about 15 to 16 minutes. This game, last game he played only 10, but I understand. You only scored 2. The game before he scored 3 points, he played 15 minutes. Like, what are we really talking about? You know, like, it's been a few games where he's played, almost 20 minutes and scored a point.
That's why I was laughing when you did you were so excited about your prediction that they're going to be third in the
East. I was really pleased with myself, too.
you took out your wallet and you were threatening to buy people type of pleased. You were happy. And I was like, that Central Division is going to be tough because you have the Bucks. Giannis is a stat-stuffing machine. And I'm just like, wow, this dude is incredible. I hope he makes the All-Star team this year. The Bucks has a nice
– I fully expect him to.
Yeah. You know, of course, you have Cleveland, you have Detroit, you have Chicago, you have Milwaukee. Indiana's not really playing too well, but I think, you know, beginning of the season, they have a new point guard in Jeff Teague, so everybody's finding their niche. But you have potentially 5 teams out of the East, out of the Central Division in the East, that's going to make the playoffs. That whole division can be over 500, and I think everybody in that division can make the playoffs.
Yeah, because right now in the top 8, there is 1, 2, 3, 5 teams right now from the Central Division.
Yeah, that's everybody. Yeah. That's everybody. So you factor in, who else is going to make the playoffs? You know, I don't know if Charlotte's going to hang on there. Off to a great start.
Yeah, 7-3. They're off to a great start.
I don't trust them. I don't trust the Knicks. Of course, yeah. Boston and Toronto, they're going to make the playoffs. And in Atlanta, that's the AFC. That's the eight seeds right there. You know, Orlando's not going to make it. You know, all those other teams, the Nets aren't going to make it. The Knicks aren't going to make it. You know, they're.
You know what's funny about Orlando, speaking of Orlando, is.
The guy with the hat.
That is the worst. That is the. I still don't understand how he's in the NBA, let alone the starting point guard of the Orlando Magic, but.
They should let DJ Augustine start because it's year three, and I haven't seen any growth from that guy. Elfrid Payton is just like trash. He's just existing. He's just like
collecting free money.
Yeah, like you need to do something, dude, because you're not. You can't just be averaging 11 points and like 5-6 assists a game, and you know you can't for you to be drafted where you was drafted at and to have that type of ability that you had to go to the rack. He can go to the rack, but I'm just like, you don't do it all the time. You get confused. I don't know if your hair's in the way. What the hell?
Oh my God, man. So his career averages are 9.8 points a game and 6 assists. This is his third year. It's hard to give up on someone who's 22, but you can see when somebody just doesn't have it. You know what I mean?
It's funny because, you know, I've talked about this in the past about numbers. There's a guard for the 76ers. There's two guards, actually. The starting point guard, Rodriguez, he's averaging those numbers, 8 points and 8 assists. And then their backup, TJ McConnell, he's averaging like 6 points, 4 assists. And it's just like, you're Elfrid Payton. You're Elfrid Payton, though. You're supposed to be the man. This is your team. Like, because they got rid of Oladipo. Vukovic, yeah. Like, you know, he kind of tallied. Like, I don't know. That team needs to be blown up. I don't know what the hell the Magic. Aaron Gordon is another one who needs to be put on the hot seat next year. Not this year because he's just now, you know, becoming a household name because of the dunk contest and, you know, in basketball eyes, not like just outside.
He just needs to go somewhere where he can have structure. He needed a more. I don't want him to sit there and I think he has potential. I don't want him to sit there and suffer in Orlando. They already have 4 freaking 7-footers. This is a clusterfuck. How do you have Serge Ibaka? You signed Bismack Biyombo for some reason. Nikolai Vujicic is there. Aaron Gordon, I think I'm missing somebody because it's another 7-footer there, I believe.
The guy they drafted last year, the European cat. What's his name? I think he's like a stretch 4, but you know.
But they have this logjam at the big man position with all the bigs, and it doesn't make a lick of sense to me. I don't understand what they're doing. Then they have this trash dude running the point. His last game, he had 5 points and 4 assists. Like, that's who's supposed to be your floor general and run the show there, right? So,
the Orlando Magic are the Eastern Conference Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, because they are. I have no clue what they're doing either. But we've been saying that since the summer, so that's beating a dead horse. But that,
nothing wrong with that. No,
and they're on TV tonight.
Oh, great!
They're on TV tonight. So let me see. I think they're in a position to get blown out. Yeah, they're playing the Clippers tonight.
Oh yeah, that's going to be a great Blake DeAndre about to go to work.
Warriors play the Celtics tonight, 5 West Coast time, 8 Eastern, so that should be cool.
I'll be working. Isaiah Thomas, he's been playing great, by the way. I've been seeing nothing but 30-point games, tenacity, game winners. He is a good fit for the Celtics. I'm glad that they decided to stick with him and you let him know that that's his team.
Yeah, so, and I was just explaining that to Keisha earlier because she was asking me, how do bench players get on the bench? And I was, you know, explaining to her that sometimes people get drafted too high and some people saw something in a person that really wasn't there. Sometimes the coach just doesn't believe in a guy with talent, or sometimes people get a big check and decide they don't have to do anything anymore, and it stop, you know, don't have any work ethic, and, you know, it's all kind of reasons. It doesn't necessarily mean it's because you're not good, because sometimes good players, a la Chauncey Billups, was lost on a bench for years.
Yeah.
Until he got a shot in Detroit. So, some people just need somebody to believe in them, you know?
Yeah, and that's the thing. When you talk about belief, basketball in particular, look at Jalen Rose when he got drafted. He got drafted to the Nuggets. Larry Brown didn't want to play him and told him that his career wasn't going to be nothing and all this other stuff. Look at Don Nelson. He hated playing rookies. So you have coaches like that. There's a lot of politics that go on as well.
It is.
You know, so
sometimes it's somebody in that franchise that shouldn't believe in anything. But I want Ben McLemore to get free now too, because I mean, you know, I hear the rumors that the Kings may do something with DeMarcus next month, for whatever reason. I don't know why December, but
it's about his value. DeMarcus Cousins is basically Hassan Whiteside, and I don't mean like player wise. We're the last donut. No, we have these stat stuffers who don't change the outcome of the game. And I'll give you a great example. Hassan Whiteside almost had a 20-20 game against the Bulls, but it's like you didn't notice him because Robin Lopez was the one blocking everybody's shot, and he was on the two. He actually made an impact on that game when the Heat played the Bulls. You know, Dwayne Wade went back to South Beach, and Robin Lopez, you notice him more because he's a hard-nosed player. Hassan Whiteside, he's going to block shots. He's going to get double-doubles. You know, he almost had a triple-double with blocks the other day. He had 7 blocks. But, you know, it's amazing. He's a freakish athlete. But, like I said, he's just a stat stuffer at this point. He's not a – you know, look at their record. You know, I know it's a team game, but it's like if you're the man, you got to change that. You got to change the aspect of the game.
Yeah. And this is true. And I believe they're – 4-8 right now, so that's not good.
Speaking of below 500 records at the beginning of the season, what about your boy Harrison averaging a good 22 points a game, but like two rebounds and 1 assist a game?
And they're 2-8.
Harrison said, okay, I can double my averageness by literally my scoring average. And that's what he did. He's not focusing on anything else, just scoring. Once he put that average shooting sleeve on, oh, man, he doubled his averageness just like that.
And that was the thing. And that goes to show sometimes it pays to take a little less. I just don't understand what's wrong with taking a little bit less. I mean, what's wrong with that? In order to win, you know what I mean? Like, the Spurs got people to do that all the time. But, you know, a lot of these youngsters, man, they want to go chase the money. And I get it. $94 million is a big number. You may never see that type of money again. I understand, but I always have this discussion with people. Is it legacy or is it you just want to collect a big check? Because all the greats, I mean, the money is going to come. If you're great at what you do, the money is going to follow. That's just life. So if you just feel like you need to chase the money, then you're not that great then.
It's kind of funny to be biased. It's like what Nas said on this one song, this one Rich Boy song. He said, lose money chasing women. Never lose women chasing money.
Exactly. I mean, what he scored 28 points last game, but they lost.
They got blown out. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. I mean, I looked at impact on the game. Who can come on the floor, whether they're off the bench, if they're starting, what is their impact? You know, right. Because there's a lot of people. Yeah, you're going to score points. You're going to, you know, get your stats. You're going to get your numbers. But, like, what's the impact then? What are you
averaging doing? 0.9 assists a game.
Exactly. Not even a full assist.
Oh, my God.
How do you average 20 points, over 20 points, but not even one assist? Nick Young averages, I think, 1.7 assists a game. Nick Young, for God's sakes. Nick Young couldn't find it in his heart when he's chucking up all those shots to give somebody else like Brandon Ingram a chance to get that assist a game. Harrison is just... And what's funny is when I watch the Mavericks, he's not even their best player. It's J.J. Barea. He's the impact player. He's doing everything.
Yeah. It's a horribly constructed team, though.
Wesley Matthews isn't the same guy he was in Portland, of course, because of Achilles. You know, you're going to be slower after Achilles. He can still hit the occasional three, but he actually had potential to be like the West Coast Paul George right before he got hurt.
Yeah, I was a little upset when he got hurt because he was right there. He was knocking on that door. He really was.
Yeah.
He really was. Seth Curry averaging 8 points a game, 2 assists. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Well, he's getting – okay, so I noticed something last year when he played with the Kings. He wasn't getting the ball at all. He's getting the ball.
Horrible shooting percentages. Oh, my God.
Yeah. He went 4-for-17 when the Warriors played the Mavericks.
Yes, and the next game he went 4-for-12.
And it's funny, I saw what Steph did when he played for the Kings, when Seth Curry played for the Kings.
Uh-huh.
He took it easy on his brother because his brother was, you know, he's going to be a free agent. So now that he's got his contract, he's guaranteed. Steph lit his ass. I know he was like, I'm not going to hate on you. We family. You my brother. I love you. But as soon as he got his contract, he lit him up. And, you know, Free Dawkins on YouTube tried to make a Seth versus Steph montage. And I'm like, you can't do that. Yes, Seth Curry, numbers-wise, had a good game, but he was 4-for-17.
10 points.
Exactly. So.
Oh, he had 9 assists, though. I'll give him that. 5 steals. Okay. But is it 4-for-17? Come on.
Yeah. I just don't understand how we live in this era now where a bench player can do that. Like, I watched Brooke Lopez. He went 1-for-8 for threes the other day. And I'm like, how can your center, who was never a stretch center, can shoot three-pointers and that many when his percentage isn't that good?
And here's the thing about that. We're watching that, and we're screaming at the top of our lungs, why are you shooting from there? What are you doing? And the coach isn't saying anything, you know, so it's a little frustrating to see at times when you're sitting there watching somebody just chuck up bad shots, and obviously the coach is letting them. It's not helping you win, so why does he get to keep doing it?
I don't understand it at all. It's frustrating. Real quick, because I have to get back to work. I have to leave in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on your Raiders?
I am happy, but this whole season has been bittersweet because I don't know what to think about the stadium situation. I still don't believe they're leaving, but just the unknown just bothers me. So all in all, I'm really happy about the start. The start is magnificent. And last time we had a start like this, we went to the Super Bowl. I'm excited, you know, and I feel like right now is the first time since probably 2002 where I felt every time they go into a game, I feel like this is a win.
Yeah.
This is a win, you know? That's how I feel. But, again, it's bittersweet because of the whole stadium situation And the only real confidence I have is, like I always say, you know, you hear a lot of BS out there. And right now I feel like I'll believe it when I see a shovel in the ground. Plus, Goodell really doesn't like the whole idea of it. So he's been the long arm of the law since he's, you know, gotten to the league. So, So I think if it was for sure they were staying in Oakland where they belong, then I would be a lot more excited and screaming from the heavens. But I've been taking a lot of solace in, you know, also rooting for my new secondary teams in Detroit, kind of keeping me, I guess, a little distracted from the whole stadium mess. So I kind of watch and I'm happy with the start, but, you know.
Sheriff Goodell.
Yeah.
Long John of the law. Long arm.
Do you think the Niners will draft a quarterback?
No.
No?
No. I think what they should do, they play the Patriots this weekend. What they need to do is I know they should draft a quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's what my heart is. And my head is telling me that they're going to draft probably a receiver or a defensive lineman. Because, you know, Kaepernick still, he's controversial, and it's not even because of this year. He's
whole career. That just sounds hella funny, man. Kaepernick controversial.
He is, and that's the thing. He sells.
I know. Yeah.
Without Kaepernick, like, you know, the Niners don't sell. Like, even, I'm talking about, like, you know, even with that stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's – yeah.
Word.
All right, man.
You have a good one. You have a you be safe out there, and thank you all for listening. Let's go home.